Again, we come expressing our thanks to God for blessing us to be able to live and to move and to have our beings. We are grateful to have you, if you're with us, that is not a member of the Church of Christ. We want you to know that your presence graces our services. And I'm one preacher that don't know everything. But if I know, I will share what I know with you. And if you should ask me a question that I don't know, I'll just tell you I don't know. You see, as long as the preacher's honest, when you come to something that he doesn't know and he tell you that, you're not going to be able to accuse him of causing you to be lost if you're lost. But if he claim he knows and know he doesn't know and tell you something, then he's going to hang you up and you're going to be lost if you follow that, and he will too. You know, when Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, that they both would fall into the ditch. It may be a lot of us that doesn't like it, but that's the way it is. Oh, I've had people say, well, I didn't know any better. I didn't know any better. Well, you know, if ignorance was the way that people managed to get into heaven, I'll tell you what I would do. I wouldn't allow anybody to read me nothing out of the Bible if ignorance would get the job done. But it just won't do that. In the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, the Apostle Paul said in verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, having gone about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I learned by these words that the apostle penned, then that going up there telling the Lord that we don't know is not going to be sufficient. And I think we ought to understand that this application is as much to those of us who are Christians as it is to those who are non-Christian. So we ought to all study together that we might be able to learn more and more and more about the word of God. Not only to save our soul, but to save the souls of them that would hear us. And so we are going into this subject here tonight, and we are hopeful that it will be leading to those who are non-Christians, and that it will be edification to those of us who are Christians. You know, sometimes people say, don't persuade people, don't. But you know, the devil, I wish he was that kind. I wish he would just say, well, I asked you to go with me and you're not going, and I'm not going to persuade you. I'm not going to put any pressure on it. I'm just going to let you go. He doesn't act that way. He doesn't operate that way. And I've learned if we want to convert people, we can't operate that way either. You remember in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, after Christ was baptized of John in the Jordan, he went up and he was tempted these 40 days. Up there without food and was hungry, and Satan went up where he was, and he began to deal with him, trying to tempt him. And did you know, over and over he tried to offer temptations, isn't that right? He said, if thou be the Son of God, call these stones that they be bread. And Jesus was able to say that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he tried and he tried again, and then finally he left him. Well, you know what the Bible teaches us? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But we got to recognize that when he leave, that he doesn't always stay gone, that he will be back someday and let us have our guards up at all times. We're going to talk about the uniqueness of the Church of Christ tonight. I understand, you can look it up in Webster, he'll give you a better understanding of it than what I can. But I understand that it means different. And I know a lot of times people tell me that, you know, you people that members of the Church of Christ, y'all try to be different. Well, that's right, we are. And if we are not different, when it gets where you can't tell the difference between us and the others, something's wrong. Isn't that right? The Bible teaches us that we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, that we should show forth the praise of him who have called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And so the Church of Christ, then, even in its nature, it is unique. It is different from all other religious bodies in this world. And the Church of our Lord is the only one that is known in heaven just like it's known in earth. That's what makes it unique. God don't have a record of the rest of them in heaven. And only there's not a lot of things that is said that is written in heaven. But it happened to be the church of the firstborn is made mention of in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 as being written in heaven. And so then I'm glad to say tonight that the church of Christ that is unique, that it is written in heaven. And I tell you, you can search the world tonight. Out of all that we have here in your state tonight, you can't find another unless it's the Church of Christ that has some kind of recording in heaven. Or you can go to Washington and find a record. You might go down to the capital of the state of Ohio and find a record down there. But when you turn in the Word of God, it's not going to be there. Only one that is found written in heaven. And I'm glad to say tonight, that above all things, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be grateful to be a member of it, and we ought to be willing to live by what the author commands us to do. I want to say I appreciate these fine brethren here. They came over from Dayton tonight, so they saw the advertisement in the paper, I believe. They brought them here, and that lets you know, brother, I spent that your labor. And the elders' labor here is not in vain. So the uniqueness then of the Church of Christ, its message, the gospel, or is the gospel of Christ. That's something else. That this is the message. You see, when we get out to the gospel of Christ, when we come to that which will save the souls of mankind, it is not talking about, as some people would say, and would get a lot of kick out of it. One of my nieces asked me many years ago, before she became to be a Christian, she asked me one time, I went by and reasoned with her. She said, can you preach the eagle stirring the nest? Well, you see, the gospel of Christ, the message have not to be the eagle stirring the nest. Oh, I know back there in the Old Testament it says something about the eagle stirring the nest. But I tell you, being read up in the country, brethren, I learned that all good hens will stir their nest. Isn't that right? I learned that. I watched them. I peeked through the cracks at them when they was out there, when they finished that. All of them are standing there. So that's not the gospel. That's not the message that we want to bring to you tonight about the eagle standing there. But we want to bring you a message tonight that makes the Church of Christ unique. I want you to know that Jesus came to this whole world. And you know, while he was here, ladies and gentlemen, he suffered many things for you and for me, and for all mankind. And finally, they were able, by getting together false witnesses, and finally hanging out on the cross, out there on Calvary, Golgotha, if you please. While he was out there, ladies and gentlemen, a man by the name of Joseph, and one by the name of Nicodemus, they came. Joseph did his bag, his body, and they buried it in Joseph's new tomb, and Nicodemus was helping him, associated with him in that burial. But you know, when we come to Matthew, the 27th chapter, we find, ladies and gentlemen, that early that morning, I believe it says, at the Sabbath that's ended and it begun down toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and the Bible tells us that a great earthquake came. My friend, and because of that earthquake, the grave was open. And the angel of the Lord appeared. Then you know what happened? Your Lord and mine, by the reason the hand of God, got up out of that old tomb of Joseph. And you know what came while he was out there? You can understand that this great earthquake that came, the Bible say the watchmen fell as if they were dead men. And then when we get on down there, about verse 10 and 11 and 12 down through there, we find that those that were watching had to come up with a reasonable excuse about this thing, because they had been told to make it as surely as they could. Or make it sure you can, the scripture might say. And did you not realize then that they were given money to say that his body was stolen away. So then we can understand then that this is the reason why that lie is out today. That somebody came and stole the body of Jesus. Because these false witnesses, their point still telling them exactly what happened, like Matthew finally recorded for the good of the saints. They went out and said that the body was stolen. Isn't that right? And they said, let's get into the ear of the governor that we will protect you from this particular thing. So then this is when Christ came out of the grave. I want you to understand what we're talking about when we look over there in the book of Romans, the first chapter, and see verse 16. You know what the apostle Paul said? He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, faith to faith. For it is written that the just should live by faith. Now, what do we want to pay attention to here? I want you to realize that somebody had lied and said, took money and said that the body was stolen away. But when it got out to the fact of it, it wasn't so. You know the reason why? We can see what the meaning and the value of what Paul is saying when he's talking to these people in Rome. He said he wasn't ashamed of this. Why? Because somebody said that the Jesus and his body had been stolen. Somebody died it, and the word of God raised him from the dead. But Paul is saying, despite all of the accusation that was out, he said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to say I believe that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. When we look over there at the encouragement that he gave the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, more brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach unto you, and wherein you stand, by which also you saved, if you keep in memory that which I have preached unto you. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received. He said, ha! That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. It was no argument with the Jews about whether he died or not. That wasn't the point, ladies and gentlemen. All of them would agree that he died. Isn't that right? He said, how that Christ died. There's no argument that he was buried, because the evidence was there. They were buried in the chosen new tomb. But Paul said, not only how that Christ died and that he was buried, but you know what he enforced here? He said he rose again the third day. That is the significant thing. This is the uniqueness of it. Because you know one thing? No other time had man been resurrected without an in between. But when God raised Christ from the dead, he was resurrected, and there was no in between. You remember, Brother Warner, way back then, I believe it's in the book of Kings, when one time these men saw the soldiers coming, and they had this body that was dead. And when they saw the soldiers coming, that they dropped this man in the hand in the tomb, I believe it was Elisha. We'll get back to that sometime. All right, so then, but anyway, we're talking about here that Christ raised him from the dead. Watch this now. So what are we saying? We're saying that God raised Christ from the dead. That's the important thing. If Christ had been raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, there never would have been a church. And that's the reason why I know your pastor can't have one, because he hasn't died for you and nobody else yet. Sorry. And if he died, if he's dead already, he's still out there. You can count on that. You see, this is the message, that the gospel of Christ consists of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And if Christ did not arise, Paul said, if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If Christ were not resurrected by the power of God Almighty, there is no church. There is no salvation. And we just as well to go the way we'll say of the devil. Isn't that right? Because it ain't none of it any good. No, but Paul knew better than that. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:10. He said, wherefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Brethren, I know that that's where it is. So what we have here, we have the unique gospel. Not only that, but the commission of his heralded worldwide. The word of God, that is the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is something that covers everywhere. It's not something that is shut off in some kind of little corner, but I want you to know that the gospel that is preached by the was preached by the children of God, those of the apostles, I want you to know that their gospel went to everywhere. That is as far as the known word was. Brother Warnock, I wish you would turn with me to Romans the 10th chapter, and we're going to read verse 17, and we're going to read verse 18. I want you to think about this now. Sometimes people say, well, Brother Lance, why and what is God going to do about those people that never did hear the gospel? I tell you, my friend, if you think about this thing real good and you search the word of God, you'll find out that all nations at one time, as the known world was, all of them at one time heard the word of God. But it was so unique that they didn't want it and they turned it down and that messed up the whole leaf. You know, some minister. If I would take one of my children and isolate them and teach them that one and two would be five, and if they never learn anything better, and nobody, you don't even go around thinking that, isn't that right? And then they go on and on and on. And why? Because of bad teaching. Ignorance would do that. But you know one thing? When you get to the truth of it, and someday he would learn that one and two is three, he'd have to come back and tell me, say, hey, grandfather, you know, you got your figures messed up. That's what he should do. Oh, I know what it is, the father tradition and all that. But let me tell you that the scope of the church, this is the reason why we don't need another church or some more church, because the gospel of Christ in the church of our Lord, it spreads everywhere, and it's supposed to be the same thing everywhere. And when it stopped being the same thing, you know something's wrong somewhere. Right. Isn't that right? Right? In Romans chapter 10, that verse 17, all of us just back and quote this, but we won't read it tonight. Watch what it says.
So then faith.
Cometh by hearing. Now, let me ask you now, how did you get the faith? Well, I got mine because I heard the gospel. So he said then, that faith cometh by hearing. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
And hearing
by the word of God. All right, go on.
But I say. Have they not heard?
Yes,
verily. Their sound went.
Their sounds went.
Into all the earth.
Into all of the earth.
Uh-huh. And their word.
Unto the end of the world. When the apostles used God's broadcasting system. On the first Pentecost after resurrection, it didn't only cover America. It didn't only cover what we call the behind the Iron Curtain in Russia, but it covered the world everywhere where known people were. And don't come telling me that they didn't have a chance. They just messed it up like a lot of other people mess up things and lay it on somebody else. Let me tell you young people something. The schools are down there open now. Tax dollars pay for you to go to school every day unless you want to go to private school. Is that right?
That's right.
Now, you mess around here and don't learn your ABC, and they don't need no need out you grow up and get old and can't count your money. Just say, well, they didn't mean God. You see, if you ignore it, that's you. Isn't that right?
Right.
Huh? All right. Now, what happened here? The word of God, the church have been spreading everywhere, and the word of God have covered everybody. When God broadcast, I want you to know that all nations have been therefore affected under the influence of the word of God. In Colossians, I think it's 1:26, 25:1, he said the gospel will preach to every creature. So let's watch this now. Let's read just a little bit more here. I want you to see what makes the church unique. All right, go on.
But I say. Did not Israel know? First Moses said.
I will provoke what?
Provoke you to jealousy.
To jealousy.
By them that are no people.
That are no people. Uh-huh.
And by a foolish
nation. And by a foolish generation.
I will anger you.
You see, Israel turned down the word of God. And Moses done told them about it. They turned it down. You remember what time Jesus said that if they will not hear Moses and the prophet, they will not hear one that was raised from the dead. Sometime when you have time, you look over there in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke and you'll read about what we call the rich man and Lazarus. Isn't that right? Don't you know that after this man had their folk were lost and my folk, the friend, both of them were dead. Isn't that right? And we find out that the old rich man, when he raised up his head, he lifted up his eyes in hell, and he began to make a plea. Isn't that right? But you know what Abraham told him? Abraham said that if he won't hear Moses and the prophet, he won't hear one, the one that raised from the dead. What are you talking about, Moses? Though Jesus, my friend, went down there in that old tomb, stayed down. 3 days and 3 nights, and David prophesied and Peter preached that his soul was not left in hell, and neither did his flesh see corrupt, came up out of there, and you still don't believe today to the extent that you'll obey the gospel of the Son of God. Isn't that right? I know this. Now, Abraham was right when he said, if they won't hear one, won't hear Moses, they won't hear one when he raised from the dead. So we can see then that God had to bring up another people and make them jealous, the old Jews jealous. And when he did that, ladies and gentlemen, they had a trouble out of the Gentile. It was so we have trouble on both sides. But the herald of the Church of Christ is everywhere. Going to reach back and get Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 2, and I think the verse is 1, is that this is what Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judea and Jerusalem. That it shall come to pass that the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and exalted above the hill. And it said, all nations shall flow into it, and many people shall come and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord's house, to the house of the God of Jacob. He shall teach us all his ways. We shall walk in his path. For out of Zion went forth the Lord, and the way of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isn't that right? I know that's where it came from. How do you know? Because Jesus told his disciples to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high. It was there in the city of Jerusalem when old Simon Peter began to talk to them and say, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, upon your sons and daughters I pour out my spirit in these days, and they shall prophesy. I know then that we are dealing with our church, and I know that its coverage is for everybody and everywhere. And I know then you can't have the church of your charge, and I can't have the church of mine, because God, through Jesus Christ, have only given us one, and we're going to have to accept it. So we got to understand that the Church of Christ is unique, is everywhere. We're getting along already? All right. The scope involves every race, tongue, and people. I want Malachi 4 on this. Micah 4 on this. Now, we're going to do some study here. Now, when this says it's gold, now, it involves every race and every tongue and people. That means it doesn't make any difference what kind of people you are. The church is unique in that it covers for everybody. Well, I know then that the black Muslim church couldn't be what the Bible is talking about. Yeah. I know that because they just cover for the Muslims. Isn't that right? The black ones, I don't know what I was saying. But I've always said something about what I said. But anyway, I know it wasn't talking about the African Methodists. I know it wasn't talking about them because I know it wasn't talking about what they call the EME Methodists, because long time ago, the EME, not M, EME, was was for. I don't believe I got that right. It's C M E. I get it right here. Hold on. Tell that wrong. It was C M E. C M E. That's what it was. The alphabet is A M E. So they had to, after the A M E, they popped up here with the C M E. At that time, it meant colored Methodist. They call it Christian Methodist now. But at first, when it popped out, it was colored Methodist. Well, I know it wasn't none of them. I'm going to show you something. Micah 4. I'm going to show you something now. I know it wasn't these people right here. And I want you to hear this real good. Okay, go ahead. Watch what he said. Micah 4:1.
But in the last day. It shall come to pass. That the mountain of the house.
That the mountain of the Lord's house.
Shall be established.
Where?
In the top of the mountain.
Same thing Isaiah said. In the top of the mountains, all right?
And it shall be exalted above the hills.
I want you to see this now. It says what? And people shall do what?
Flow unto it.
Flow where? People shall flow unto it. Not colored people. Mind you. You know one time I was up in Arkansas doing a meeting up there, and the white brother was having a meeting starting in Ross Field, and the preacher was talking about, come on out here, you colored people, come out here, you colored people, color. So I told him one night, we would deal with this passage of scripture right here, and I said, now, the rest of them out there may be colored people, but I'm not colored. I'm not East Asian. I'm black. I'm not colored. I want you to understand that. My color is black, but I am not a colored man. Y'all with me?
All right.
And so he said, all people shall flow into it. That means that everybody that's going to be saved is going to be in it. And there will be no saved on the outside of it. That make it unique. You watch this now. We're not quite through with it yet. Revelation 7 and verse 9, if you will. We're going to try to doctor on this and get it right. We can understand it. You see, and when we get in there, you know what Paul wrote Timothy? He said, if I tarry long, thou may know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, he's telling you and me that's in the church, brethren, that we're going to have to know how to behave. Well, now, some of us, as members of the church, right, we don't know how to behave and don't care one. I'm telling you that. When you go to hear people talking about, we have our homecoming, we have our preacher's appreciation, we have the preacher's day, and all that kind of stuff, those brethren don't know how to behave. And when they got a kitchen back there, and it smells more like a cafe with hamburgers and coffee than it does a place where God's people are, you got the wrong thing. Jesus said about up on this rock, I'll be in my church and stand. Hamburgers frying and coffee pumping, and it's why y'all don't know about me, brother. Because I tell my brother, they want to stop that. They're gonna send us to hell doing that, and I stopped it. Bible says if we hungry, eat at home. Isn't that right? All they say, well, you ought to know what the Greeks say. Well, I know what the Greeks say. The Greeks say, if you're hungry, eat at home. That's what it say. All right now. So then the church did. The church is involved every race. I want you to know that every talk. And I don't care what kind of language you speak, as it is a language that is known and associated under some culture, is what he's talking about. Now he's not talking about, hey, seek me, holy Lord, hey, seek me. He's not that. But he's talking about, I don't care if you're from Africa, I don't care if you're from Spain, I don't care if you're from Russia, where you're from, America, whatever. He's saying that every tongue is going to be in you. Now watch what he said. In Revelation, the 7th chapter and verse 9. Now, let me touch this just a little bit more. Above that, we find that John had wrote about the 144,000. You the 12,000 out of every tribe. And 12 times 12 is 144. And he said, these he saw. Then in verse 9, he said, after that, what happened?
After this.
And after this,
I beheld.
And done what?
And lo, a great multitude.
And lo, a great multitude. Uh-huh.
Which no man can number.
Now the Jehovah's Witness said they can count it. But he said, which no man can number. Done what?
Of all nations.
Of all nations.
And kindred.
And kindred.
And people.
And people.
And tongue.
And tongue.
Stood before the
throne. Stood before God. Now, isn't that beautiful? This shows you the uniqueness of the church. This shows you that all of God's people are in the same family. And Paul said that we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. So that's all we are. Now watch what he said. Of all people and of all tongues, all of us, everybody in that number that God said that could not be numbered, all of us is in the same identical church. Now then, I got one more thought here. He's not talking about the right majority either. Right. You hear, who is it, Farwell, Caldwell, what's his name?
Falwell,
I see him. That's the one. And he ain't talking about that foolishness. A John Birch Society, he's not talking about that. He's talking about those who obey the gospel of the Son of God. You know, many years ago, this is going to be some information for you young men. Back over in East Texas, they used to have what they call the Blue Vein Church. And that was black folks. They were for light-skinned black folks. And you had to be light enough to go in there. It was offspring off the Methodist and the Episcopal. You had to be light enough when they go in there and look at there and say, you see the blue blood. Let me tell you, your blood ain't blue. If your blood turned blue, you better hurry up and get to the doctor. I had a young man used to associate preaching with me, and he was light skinned. He told me one day, well, brother, my blood is blue. Should I get out? Well, he said, my blood just turned. I said, let me tell you something, sir. You better stop that. You know, I pulled up what we used to call blood weeds to get in the hallway, and the blood come out of a blood weed was red. I killed chicken in the blood. Everything I ever dealt with had blood was red. Until it got around to him, he come down, the air is what made it turn. You better get away from him. I'm telling you, ladies, this can get, the truth is not hard to understand. A lot of times it's hard to accept. You know that? But it's not hard to understand. And I want you to understand then that God is going to, he's going to cut off from heaven all that hold this kind of thing, whether we be black or whether we be white, because we'll all be one in Christ Jesus. And when it gets to be something else, we better tighten up on our screws a little bit. Look what he said. He said, I saw another number. And he said, they all were standing there. Wait, right before God. Let's get back to this Revelation thing here. Watch what he said.
Stood before the throne.
Throne.
And before the Lamb.
And before the Lamb.
Clothed with white robes.
Clothed with white robes.
And palms in their
hands. And when he dropped on down there with God, verse 13, then the old elders began to ask the question, who are these that are arrayed in white robes? And he said, these are they that bore their burden in the heat of the day, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that right? All of us that are children of God, all of us who have obeyed the gospel of Christ, all of us who will walk by the rule that our Lord and Savior have given us to walk by, all of us have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And all of us are sisters and brothers in Christ. And we better accept that. That's what makes the church of Christ unique. Oh, you hear all these stories about Peter going to be doing this and Peter going to be doing that. When we get to heaven, Peter going to be just like the rest of us. He'd be glad to push in there just like I will, I make it. The invitation is to all. You know there's not too many things that part of the invitation is to everybody. You know, a lot of times you see a sign that says the public is invited. And still that can go up to a certain extent. But let me tell you what Jesus said, come unto me, all of you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And you learn to me, my yoke is easy and my burden light. He meant that, isn't that right? That invitation, ladies and gentlemen, have been extended to all men of all time, of everywhere. But most people don't want to come on his term. Therefore, they just can't make it. That's all it is of that. But it's not because the Lord wouldn't have you to come. Open the book of Revelation, I believe it's the 22nd chapter, verse 17. He said, the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him that is first come. And let whosoever will, I believe he goes on to say, let him come. You see, God wants all men to come to Christ. Well, let us think about this. Let's think about the system that some religious use. If they know that you've been a bad actor, that you've been on something, then you got to come and tell some kind of Christian experience. And somebody got to vote on you before they decide whether they want to let you in the church or not. You can't, in a good old well-groomed Baptist church, one that's Father Doctrine, you can't get in there without being voted on. Somebody going to have to vote on you and to see whether they think you are sufficient to come into that society or not. I have a brother up in Lubbock, Texas. Bless his heart, he's not able to preach anymore because he had some severe strokes. But before he was, I was dealing with him about this one time. And he said, well, we baptized some, and we didn't vote on them. I said, well, now you tell me now, brother, which one of these is right? The one that you voted on or the one that you didn't vote on? He said, you're trying to monopolize Christ.
Yeah.
No, that's not it. That's not it. If a man or woman walks out here tonight, a boy or girl that's of age walk out here tonight and want to confess before this altar, when Brother Rodlock talked to you, if you want to confess Christ and want to be baptized, we'll do it tonight. You ain't going to hear Brother Rodlock get up here and say, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the statement of the candidate, what's your pleasure? You ain't going to hear none of that. Somebody say, I move that we receive him for candidate of baptism. And somebody say, I second the motion. And then one of the elders say, it have been moved and second that we receive him for candidate of baptism. You ain't going to hear all that kind of stuff down here. You're going to hear the preacher ask you, and then he talk to you, and ask you, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And if you're ready to do that, ladies and gentlemen, and go down and water baptism for the remission of your sin, you can become to be a child of God tonight. Not tomorrow. Oh, this makes the church of Christ different. This makes it unique in what we're doing. And not only that, it's destination is age. It lasts forever. It's going on and on. And the church is not going to stop. There are a lot of things that's going to stop. But the church is going to keep on existing when everything else is pulled it up. When the earth rolls up as a element, brother, rolls up as a great scroll, and the earth melts as a poverty, I want you to know that the church is going to keep on going. It's not going to stop, ladies and gentlemen, because this is what the Lord brought here for you and I, that our soul someday could be raised up from this old earth, and that we go back to glory where God is. We're going to deal with this just a little while. Back there in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, you know, old man Daniel, therefore, old Nebuchadnezzar, rather, had a dream. And Daniel was a man that interpreted that dream. And when he interpreted that dream, I want you to understand, sisters and brothers, when old man Daniel, therefore, began to unfold that thing. Nebuchadnezzar was a little bit surprised, isn't that right? You know, in the dream, saw an image, and this image was described as his head being of gold, and I believe it said that the arm and the breast was all silver, and then the belly was all brass, and so forth and so on, and the leg was all iron, part iron and part clay. But you know one thing, when Daniel began to unravel this thing to him, he told that God had made him king, and that everything was under him. Kingdom was under him. The fires of the air was under him. And he said, O king, thou art that head of gold. And then he dropped down to verse 44. He began to talk to him and tell him that in the days of these kings, he said, God of heaven, we're going to set up a kingdom, and it wouldn't be left to other people, but it was going to break in pieces, and it was going to last for ever, and it would consume all of these kingdoms. We look at the Medo-Persian kingdom. We see then the, the Caesar and the head of the Roman kingdom. And we find in that day, ladies and gentlemen, our Lord establish his kingdom in the city of Jerusalem. And I want you to know that that kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and it's going to stand forever. That's the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, it is unique in what it is, because there's nothing else that I know of that man have down here that is going to last, be ageless in its lasting. I can understand then that we move up just a little bit farther and we look over there in the book of Hebrews. We find in the 12th chapter and verse 28 that the Bible said that God is going to give us a kingdom over there that never shall be destroyed. Well, what's going to happen then to the kingdom of the world? They were going to die one at a time. Why are they going to die? Because the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that God will establish through him, we're going to gradually consume them. But the kingdom of heaven is going to stand forever. Paul described this thing down there in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and I believe the verse is about 24. When he began to talk to the Corinthian brethren, and what did he try to tell them as he was dealing with them down there? He said, then coming the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God. And you know one thing? All of his children need to be a part of that kingdom. Isn't that right? So when the time is out down here, this kingdom is going to rise up and go to heaven. Do you have it for me? Brother Walnut, let's see what they say there. All right, go ahead.
Then cometh the end.
Then cometh the end.
When he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God.
All right, when he shall deliver up the kingdom of heaven. All right, go ahead.
All right, delivered the kingdom to God, even the Father.
To God, even the Father.
When he
that is, Christ is going to deliver the kingdom to the Father. All right, go
when
ahead.
When shall I put down all rules.
When I put down all rules.
And all authority.
And all authority.
And power.
And power.
For he must reign.
For he must reign.
Till he hath put.
Till he hath put what?
All enemies.
All enemies.
Under his feet.
Under his feet.
The last enemy.
The last enemy.
That shall be destroyed.
That shall be destroyed.
Is death.
Is death. I can understand what John is talking about. In Revelation, I think it must be the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. When he said that there will be no more dying and there will be no more tears, because all these former things will have washed away. Well, what's going to happen? This kingdom here, this is why it's not going to be destroyed. This is why it's going to stand forever, when the last enemy, which is death, shall be put in subjection under the authority and power of Christ. When we rise up above this whole chaos down here, that our souls might be saved forever and enjoy those things in that everlasting kingdom. Oh, my friend. The church of Christ, it's nothing that's like it. Nothing that's in the Bible but it, as far as church is concerned. And you know you need to be a member of it, you're not. If you're a member of it not acting right, you need to start acting right. Because we've been to talk about the final line now. Its benefits are eternal life. You know, those of us who read the Bible, we read about the people in the Old Testament time, back in the book of Genesis. We read about them living a long time. Methuselah lived 969 years, if my memory serves me well. And everything else shorter than that. But back then, when a man lived to be 600 years old, he would beget sons and daughters. Isn't that right? Oh, Brother Smith, what it would be like, you know. I'd just love to live to give me 150. If I just could live to be 150, see my two or three generations, I would just be happy as I could be about that thing. But you know, most of us now, we just barely can make it to 100. Isn't that right? It's not many of us men. There might be a lot of you women here might live to get 100. Ain't many men here going to get to be no 100. And I would love to do it. But I'm talking about here, when we talk about eternal life, we are talking about something that 100 years is nothing. We're talking about something we'll go surpass that what Methuselah had. We're talking about something that will live on and on and on. But where do we get this benefit? It's in the church of Christ. It is through the death and burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we are
Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning about verse 31, Jesus began to express the great separation of things. And he said, "Then shall the Son of Man sit up on the throne of his glory. And he shall separate them." The shepherd separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to put the goats on the left hand, and he's going to put the sheep on the right. And he's going to say unto the righteous, "Come ye blessed, and inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was athirst, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, he said, you took me in. When I was naked and in prison, you came, and sick, you came unto me." And they said, "Lord, when have we seen thee a hungry and repent? When have we seen you, thou poor, a stranger, and we took you in?" When we see these conditions, Christ said, "In so much have you done it unto the least, one of these, the mighty disciples." He said, "You've done it unto me." Then he said, "He returned to those that were on the left side." And he was said, "Depart, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire. Therefore, prepare for the devil and his angels." There's one thing I want to say about those of us who have tasted the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Christians, if you please, if we go to hell, we have to go without being invited. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and 41, that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Isn't that right? "I depart from me, and therefore, as he said, be cast into the..."